Welcome to Profiling Criminal Minds. I'm Dan.
Dr. Redmond.
Oh, and in case that tone of voice didn't make it clear enough, we're here to talk about the new episode of Criminal Minds that just aired on Wednesday. It was called Ghost because the listing we got of what episodes were airing when has not proven to be accurate. I don't know who got the bad information, but Wikipedia did not have it right. So we thought tonight was going to be date night. It's not. It's something called Ghost. Why is it called Ghost? That's a really good question.
Good question!
I mean, if it actually was about, like, a copycat, then I could see calling it Ghost. Because it's about, you know, the echoes of a previous murder. But it's not. But you know what? We'll get there.
Yeah, sadly, we'll get there.
All right, so the episode opens with two guys getting shot in a park. And then we cut to basketball, where Matt...
No,
and...
it starts with the basketball.
Well, yeah, they're shot in a park. You know they're playing basketball in a park, right?
Well, yeah, but they're playing basketball on the court, yes.
And yes,
the court
in a park. Yes, but and then we cut to another matching basketball scene of Matt and Luke, you know, just being buddy-buddy out on the court. This is their showcase episode, so we got to establish that they're buddies, since the show had never really done that up until this point. But they are buddies, they are good friends, and, you know, blah, 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 brothers in arms, blah, 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 hagiography of Special Forces dudes. Anyway, you know, we've covered this all before on the show. Let's just say America has a love affair with the Special Forces that is deeply troubling to people outside of America. Anyway, what's fascinating about this is we get a callback to the first season.
No, I wouldn't call it a callback. What I would call it is going to the friggin' well because you haven't got yes. anything else to go to. I mean, I have no use for this episode.
Oh, no, it's not a good episode. I am not going to pretend.
Whatsoever.
It's a good episode. Don't get me wrong.
It was, I mean, I just.
It was crap from beginning to end. Yes.
I went, okay, so they're back to form, eh?
Well, yeah. I mean, we only got one fun week of Criminal Minds. That was all they were going to give us is 1 week. And no, this episode feels worse than it would have. Right? Because it's not a very good episode at all. But the episode feels worse than it would have because it comes 1 week after them trying something different. And I'll say it again, succeeding.
Yeah.
You know, they did something different last week and they succeeded at it. And this week they're like, oh, okay. Back to, as you say, back to the well. So yes, Timothy Omenson back in season one was a character they called the LDSK, which stands for Long Distance Serial Killer, because they don't want to use the word sniper because of branding issues. And by the way, I love that. And one of my favorite things about the honesty of that episode is they flat out say it's because of branding. If we say sniper, people are going to notice that we really have a hard time catching snipers, which is pretty funny. Here's a true story. Somebody was testing out, this is going back 2 years ago, two, 3 years ago, up and down the California coast, I believe it was. It was somewhere on the west. It could have been Nevada. But the point is, someone was testing America's power grid by getting 300, 400 meters away from a, what do you call it? What is the power transfer stations called?
I have no idea. Okay.
You know, the giant places full of the huge metal machines with the wires coming out of the top. It's really embarrassing that I don't remember the name. But anyway, someone was going there from 300 meters away, taking a rifle and just shooting at America's machines. And they were finding out that, yeah, you can cause a blackout really quickly with a rifle. And then they would just drive away. And to this day, because it was a guy shooting from 100 meters away or from hundreds of meters away with a rifle, America has no idea who was doing that. Because it's really hard to catch someone whose thing is getting far away from somebody and shooting with a rifle. Which is why this episode is so puzzling. Because that's not what is happening here. And even though someone was shot 2 days earlier, it takes until they get there to find out that, no, it was just people being shot with silenced pistols. How did you not know that 2 days ago when they did the autopsy on the first guy to get killed?
It wouldn't be a Criminal Minds episode if they actually, if somebody else actually discovered something other than the unit.
Yeah. And the thing is, yeah, they get the ballistics from the ME, but they're the ones who have to be told it. But I'm like, yeah, there's no way you couldn't already know that this wasn't a sniper. And it's interesting because it's the same city, of course, and that's why they make the connection. It's a guy shooting people in the torso in the same city. They're like, well, this is something that happened to us. Actually, very few of them. I was thinking about it, it's like, who's left from that cast?
JJ,
Reed, Garcia. I guess that's it.
Not, well, yes, and that can explain why they misremembered.
Yeah.
Like, that's... I'm listening to it, and I'm going, but that's not what happened.
No,
and
that
I'm
isn't.
Going, right? And then I'm going, oh, well, maybe they're just they've reshaped it in their memories, you know?
Well, there is something that gets reshaped in their memory that we'll talk about in a second, because I was insulted by how they had reshaped it in their memory. But we'll get there in a second. But yeah, what's interesting is they keep saying it's similar in a copycat, but I'm like, these guys, A, is shooting with pistol, and B, the notable thing about the Timothy Omenzon character in that episode was that he was going out of his way to try and shoot people non-fatally.
Yeah.
He was trying to...
That was exactly the point. I just sat there and went...
That's the cornerstone of that guy's MO.
Yeah. Like, he doesn't want to kill anyone. He accidentally killed someone.
Yeah, he accidentally killed someone, and then he killed the cop.
Yeah, and then the whole thing with the cop and what they're saying about the cop. I mean, it was nice to see
Anthony Dennison,
but that. I mean, I'm going, okay, so you've misremembered this too.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so you decided the cop is a hero. No, he wasn't a hero. He was the one who leaked things to the press. Yep. And then as a punishment, you stuck him in the trunk.
Yeah, you, what do you call it? You were going to make him pretend to be the sniper because he was the one leaking to the press. And Tim Omenzon got word that that was happening, and to show up the person, like specifically to show up the person that the cops thought was the killer, right? Yeah. And they shot him in the head. So yes, the FBI got that cop killed.
Yeah.
Like they did. Cause they like that 100% the FBI got that cop killed, and now they're pretending. No, he was a good cop. And the killer, the LDSK shot him because they were getting too close. And I'm like, nope,
no.
That's not what happened at all. You are completely lying about the events of that episode. He shot him. That man got shot because you put it out that he was the killer, that you thought he was the killer. And in a prideful serial killer, not wanting other people to get credit, he shot that cop.
Like, yeah, I know.
You
yeah,
got that
no.
man killed.
I mean, I'm sitting there listening to this and going, okay.
And yes, to be fair, everyone who was in charge of the team at the time of that decision is no longer on the team, and one of them is dead. But you can't claim that something else happened here.
I'm sorry, you could have gone back and watched the LDSK episode.
Well, that would have been nice, but it would have been very off-brand for people working on this show to do their research.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure the script is somewhere in a file.
You'd think, but maybe not. Maybe, you know, no, maybe they throw it. Maybe they throw everything into a fire at the end of every season. Again, that would explain a lot, wouldn't it? And like a bonfire, we're destroying our past. We're burning our ships. We can only go forward. But yeah, no, it's insulting to that previous episode for you now to say, "Oh, that cop was a hero," and blah 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 blah, and. It's fine. The weird part is, it's fine if the city wants to remember him as a hero. Yeah. Like, I understand, again, it's about myth-making, and it's about positioning the role of police in society. If you want to say any dead cop is a hero, I completely get that instinct, and I believe that if a cop got shot in a park, they would rename the park after him. I assume it was the same park. I mean, they don't, I don't know if they actually say
well,
that.
Well, I think it even looked the same. Oh, by yeah. the way, the other thing I noticed was they used the same morgue as they used in the first two episodes.
Oh, they did. Oh, God. Well, you know.
I looked at the morgue and I went, oh, so it must
they be. They got a standing, well, I mean, I think we are suspecting they have a standing set for morgue and they have neither the time nor the budget to redress it. Mm-hmm. It did look similar, though. You're right. I didn't notice that.
No, but, the pole, the posts
way.
And things. Yeah, it's not arranged, but it's the posts and everything. Like, they didn't even bother. I would compare this to Criminal, that's on.
Oh, yeah, yeah, where they're doing the same set.
The French, German, and British, and whatever.
Spanish show, where Spanish they do the show. Same.
They use the same set, but at
and use
least...
the same set, and they just bring in new actors.
Well, yeah, but they changed, they at least changed things like.
Yeah, they changed lighting and they changed the, yeah.
Yeah, and they changed the furniture and they changed, you know, sometimes they change what's on the walls, but you know it's exactly the same.
The same set because it's essentially they're doing a play style experiment.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting. The Criminal Minds is not interesting by comparison. No, and it's very funny when you watch the episode because you're like, I believe they would name the, rename the park after a cop who got killed there. Like, I believe that is how the city would want to remember the cop.
Yeah.
But what's bad is having the team misremembering or possibly lying about what happened because either way you look at it, right, you are trying to create this narrative where you are blameless. And that really bothers me when they do that. Mm-hmm. And they do that a lot. So I have a lot of chances to be bothered. It's very frustrating.
Right from the beginning, I'm going, oh my. I mean, that was it. The minute they start talking. Right?
Yeah. Oh my God. But here's my question to you. How on earth did no one notice guys in motorcycle jackets and motorcycle helmets walking up to people in the park and shooting them with silenced pistols? Because, spoiler alert, a pistol with a silencer on it is only accurate to about 25 feet.
Yeah, so how did you not see them?
How are these guys not being seen?
How did we not see them?
Well, because right?
They pan in, like we're panned out. When the guy on the lawnmower gets shot.
Yeah, we're panned out. I guess he was just off to the side slightly.
Be off to the side. I'm sure that pan out was more than 25 feet.
Oh no, I'm sure you're right, but it's crazy the idea.
Didn't see because the other two got shot afterwards.
Exactly. Like, and they were both shot, and all she would look around. If you see people fall down, you quickly look around. Oh look, there's two bikers with silenced pistols right over there. Like, how could you not notice? Like, and honestly, I think it's not crazy to say. I don't believe you could not notice them. It doesn't make sense to me what happens in this episode.
I have to wait for this for the end stuff.
Okay, no, obviously right. We've got more stuff to talk about. There's plenty more wrong with this episode, but the whole opening is so bizarre because when you find out that it's just guys with silenced pistols, you're like, but how could no one have seen them? Any of the three times they've shot someone in public from 20 feet away. And then you get this ridiculous scene where, because, you know, the audience they think are dum-dums and they need to set up the bikers. So they show that there's a biker standing in the woods 15 feet away watching them with a helmet on. I'm like,
but I'm not even sure.
The cops are going to notice that.
I'm not sure he was 15. I think he was more than 15 feet
away. Okay, but even if he's 50 feet away, the cops... Three people just got shot in that park. The cops have the entire area locked down. Or they should. Right?
Because there were cops already in the neighborhood when the call came in.
Exactly. Like, this whole place should be completely locked down. And yet, and this is the part that bothers me, this guy is able to just stand there in the woods watching the cops to see when Matt and Luke leave. And nobody from the police department is like, hey... Maybe we better pause that creepy-looking biker and ask him a few questions. Yeah, I think he might be a good lead. Oh, although I do say there was a funny scene in it where they're like, someone couldn't have sniped from the road because there's, like, bushes and a fence in the way. And then, like, we get a shot of the road and there are not bushes and a fence in the way. It's just like you can see the road quite clearly. I'm like... Oh, show. You couldn't find an angle where that line made sense. Because as we learned, like, you don't need to do this whole tricked out trunk of your car like the actual Beltway Sniper and LDSK did. As we learned from Jack Reacher, literally all you have to do is just have a van, stop your van for 1 minute, shoot three times out the side of your van, and then drive away, and you'll be fine. And nothing about the setup of the area suggests it was anything but that. But they're like, nope, it must have been someone firing a pistol from up close. Which raises all of these questions.
it was like, you're kind of shocked. Like, I'm going, first of all, why didn't they do an LDSK shot?
Yeah, like, they could afford rifles. Yeah, like, why aren't these guys just using rifles if they're trying to recreate this guy's murders?
Yeah, because
why are they taking the risk of walking up to some people and shooting them with pistols in plain view where they can be seen? And it's like the show...
Because the purpose of recreating the LDSK shootings was to get the FBI there.
So why wouldn't they do it as closely as possible?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, I agree with you. Like, if their goal was to attract the attention of the BAU, why are they doing this huge difference from the crime they're copycatting, which would make it seem less like the actual crime?
Yeah, which would mean that the FBI would immediately know it was somebody else.
Yeah, well, I mean, it has to be somebody else. That guy's been dead for 14
years.
Well,
yes, I know. Yes. You know what I mean.
But yeah, completely unrelated and someone who's, you know, doing it for strange, unrelated reasons.
Yeah.
Because like, the guy could have had a cousin or a brother or just a fan.
Yeah.
Like someone who really liked what he did and wanted to recreate his actions. But if you're just walking up to people with a pistol and shooting them, the idea that you would even associate with the LDSK's rampage is ridiculous. Like, no one... The second you find out that someone just walked up or did a drive-by with a pistol, you wouldn't associate it with that guy's killings. Especially since they're going out of their way to try and kill people, where he went out of his way to try and not kill people.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, I don't know if it serves their purposes at all. Also, and I know this is a weird thing to ask or focus on at all, but how did the killer know that both of these guys worked for the BAU now? Like, I honestly don't know this about the FBI and FBI agents, but it's like commonly accessible information to find out where FBI agents work?
I don't know.
Yeah, I just found it weird that in an amazing coincidence, the two specific FBI agents he had a problem with worked in the same unit. And then later were driving in the same car exactly when he needed them to be. What an amazing coincidence for that guy. Actually, that's a part that really bothered me. So they hear about they get the obvious trap phone call, right? They get the obvious trap phone call, and then they all drive in a convoy. And I'm not saying every cop in this city is terrible at their job, but the last car in their convoy has a van weave in front of it to stop it, and two motorcycles drive up, you know, one on either side. And they take, I would say at least, they set off a grenade and then take at least, you know, 60 seconds to drag people out of a car and into a van. And that whole time, no one notices that the car behind them has stopped being in the convoy. Like, how is that possible? Like, and especially because what is wrong with Matt or Luke, whoever was driving, that they didn't honk or try to create a fuss when they saw someone loom in front of them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, why did they not honk the horn on their car?
They were in a convoy.
Yeah, they were in a convoy. There's three cars ahead of them. Yet then suddenly a van drives into oncoming traffic, screeches to a stop in front of them, and none of the other cars in the convoy are aware that that happened.
How could that be?
Like, it's a convoy. They're only 10 feet behind you until this van zooms up and cuts them off. And I'm like, but what happened to the other three cop cars? And I guess they just drove off without anyone noticing.
Which I guess is, you know, so. Well, why would they?
Why would they notice?
They were all following in line.
Yes. How could you not notice that this was happening? But the show expects us to believe that they did not notice that this was happening. And so they're able to abduct them with no trouble at all. And then we get into what the episode is really about. A hitman for a biker gang, who's like the boss of a biker gang, has a problem with the two of them. So he's going to kidnap them and torture them and then murder them.
Yeah.
And the episode, I'm not going to say completely falls apart, right? But it gets really baffling at this part. Because, okay, this city presumably has been completely shut down, mm-hmm. right? By the fact that there's a sniper driving, sniper murdering people. That's the kind of thing that shuts down a whole city, mm-hmm. right? And I mean, look at what Washington, D.C. was almost shut down by a sniper. And that's Washington, D.C. Like, people were paranoid. People were freaked out. People were staying home. People were looking over their shoulder all of the time. Like, it terrified it. And so this town is a much smaller town than Washington, D.C., and they've already been through this.
Yeah.
Yet, we're expected to believe, even after someone has been, like, just randomly shot in a parking lot, and the cops have no idea who did it, everyone in the town is like, oh, yeah, let's just go hang out in parks.
You know? Yeah.
Let's go drive around, hang out in parks. We're not at all concerned that the cops haven't catched a crazy person who shoots people and then drives away. Like, no, that's the kind of crime that destabilizes a whole society. Like, people will keep their heads down until something like that is over.
Yep.
Yeah, like, it's random violence. And it terrifies people. You know, they put cities on lockdown for stuff like that. Look what happened with the Las Vegas shooting. Look what happened when they had that mass shooting the same way in Virginia, where a sniper was shooting at the naval yard, right? Like, yeah. You shut down the whole city. And which it makes it all the more hilarious, because later in the episode, they bring up this plot point, right? Over and over again, that the motorcycle gang has some kind of a big deal about to go down, right? And that's what they keep talking about, this big deal they've got going down tonight. And you're like, oh, I bet this is going to play into the plot later. It never does. Like, we never find out what was going on with that deal. I mean, if you could read my review on Fargelon.com, and I keep being like, when are we getting to the fireworks factory? Like, when is this deal going to pay off? This deal they keep telling us about. And it never pays off. Like, it's never part of the episode.
Never pays off.
But the one line we get in reference to the deal is absolute madness. Because the cop, Flea, the second in command to the murderer, I don't remember his name, it's not important what his name was, says to him, rather insanely, I was fine when you were, when we were just driving around shooting people in public parks, because it'll keep the cops distracted while we're trying to do our deal. Right? Trying to do this big drop we have planned. But now that we're kidnapping FBI agents, it's going to attract a lot of attention. And hey, buddy, you're 100% right about killing FBI agents attracting a ton of attention. Don't do that. But more importantly, why did you think that randomly shooting people in parks would take the cops off guard?
Yeah.
Like, they're like, yeah, the cops will be way less vigilant about suspicious people driving around in vans full of drugs if we go around shooting people in public parks.
Well, you know.
That's going to make cops way more vigilant about what's going on in their city.
But what I would say is these guys weren't the smartest bulbs in the, we can tell.
Yeah,
you know,
the smartest bulb on the tree. Well, no, but it's like, it's such a crazy idea, because if you think about this, if you give it literally a moment's thought, you'll realize that going around randomly shooting people is going to make everyone freak out and stay home. The streets will be empty. So if the only people on the streets will be empty because everyone will be too terrified to go outside, which actually happened in D.C., so, do you know what's going to happen then? The cops are really going to notice if a bunch of bikers start tooling around, escorting vans full of drugs places. Like, you this plan think? Is going to have the opposite effect from what they want it to. And the show is so poorly written by, I think, two FBI agents that they don't realize it. Seriously, I think the other guy was a former FBI agent, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because Jim Clemente is one of the two writers on this. And I saw this referenced on Twitter. And I looked at the guy's bio, and I think he used to be an FBI agent as well. So, yeah. This is an episode written by two FBI agents that seems to know nothing about, you know, psychology or human nature or how to crime.
Or how to read previous episodes.
Well, yeah, there is that. Although I guess Jim Clemente has been there basically from the start, so maybe he didn't think he needed to read an earlier episode. Like, you're like, I was here for that. I don't need to check. I don't need to check my work. I'm Jim Clemente, damn it. This is my show at this point. The Jim Clemente that exists only in my head is a much different person than I'm sure the real Jim Clemente is. I want to make that clear. Mm-hmm. These are the bizarre fantasies I have about Jim Clemente are in no way representative of what I think the real Jim Clemente is like. But yeah, it's such a weird thing because even like the guys, the partner, the Flea is his name. Like even his idea of what the plan was doesn't make sense. Like, no, this couldn't possibly turn out well for you guys ever. There's no crime cops take more seriously than, like, people just randomly shooting people in their city. They will, you know, move heaven and earth until somebody is caught. That's just a fact. And you're like, no, we're going to... It's one of those things where I always, it's the what I call the diehard problem, which is... In order to get away with a crime, like keep the cops from investigating a crime, we're going to commit a much worse crime. Yeah, but, and then, I mean, they have the thing, it's like, everyone will think we're dead. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know that that's true. I mean, I think people are going to notice when those bearer bonds that were supposedly blown up start showing up in the black market, Hans. You didn't have a great plan. You had an okay plan, but it wasn't a great plan. They're like, bearer bonds are negotiable. Yeah, but they still have, like, numbers on them. If people try to sell those bearer bonds, they're going to know that they're the same ones that are stolen, I have to imagine. You know? But anyway, we're not here to talk about Die Hard. We're here to talk about worse writing. So yeah, like, it doesn't make sense at all. And then we get into what the killer's issue was. And here's where the psychology gets really interesting for me. Because they're like, okay, well, specifically Matt and Eric were kidnapped. So obviously this has to be about them. Totally logical assumption to make. Thumbs up emoji. Way to go, guys. Right? So then Garcia right away finds a case that they were both involved in. This murderer who he fled to, what do you call it? He fled to, not England. He fled to Italy, right? To get away from a warrant. And then he fled. He got caught by Matt. And then he managed to, he was almost caught by Matt in Italy. And then he fled back to America and he got busted. And then he and his brother were thrown in jail by Eric, right? Who found them out in his days working FBI's Fugitive Task Force. Okay.
Yeah.
That's all well and good. And then they're like, we have this weird moment where she doesn't immediately know that the brother is dead. She, like, finds that out two scenes later. And I'm like, I feel like the headline on the brother's file would be, he was killed in prison.
Yeah,
like, that
deceased.
Would be the top line
deceased
information.
Deceased in prison. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Deceased in prison. You would think. But what's strange is that because they want to save that reveal for the scene where the two of them are being tortured, we get this weird moment where, like, you have Joe saying, no, it can't be that he just wants revenge on the guys that put him and his brother in jail for life. There's got to be something more to it. To which I say, why would you think that, though?
Yeah. Like, why does there have to be something more to it?
Does there? I mean, maybe I'm not the best at psychology, but I feel like if a guy put me to jail for life, I would be pretty pissed about that. And especially because... he sent my brother, otherwise innocent brother, to jail for a decade.
Just because
he let me hide out in his apartment for a couple of days. I gotta say, I'd be pretty pissed about that too. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, maybe my psychology isn't the best, but I feel like that's enough reason to try to want to kill somebody, isn't it?
Well, it would be if it was me.
Okay, good. I'm glad we're on the same page on this one. No, like that's a weird scene for you too, right?
The whole thing was sort of strange. Penelope's behavior is so strange.
Yeah.
Like, they're not writing her well.
No.
Or somebody has told her that she's supposed to behave like what? Like
panicking
some frazzled,
all the time,
all the time. And when she walks in, like, what direction is she getting?
I know.
I mean, because I would assume it has to be the direction when she walks in, like in right at the very beginning, and it just continues the whole episode. Okay, let me go to IMDb and
check who directed it. Yeah. But I mean, you're absolutely right, because it's like she's very frazzled and she's very like off her game. And I'm like, that's not the Penelope. Although, I mean, it's you could be right. And they're setting up some kind of a payoff with the fact that she has her own troll stalker. So maybe they're going to pay that off later, but you're right. Like, this isn't her at all.
No, I mean, this is not her. And I'm going, it's a woman by the name of Diana Valentine. I have no idea who that is.
I mean, I've never heard that name before.
Okay, and it was
Does she direct a lot of television? Or?
I could go check her, I guess.
No, it's not important.
No. I mean, once you're on IMDb, everything.
You're right. It's one click seconds, away. What am I
know?
Saying?
Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right.
Filmography.
Well, I guess what I find so strange, right, is that the idea that she's...
Oh, like, yeah.
Oh, she directs a lot of television.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Beverly Hills, Kiss Tomorrow Goodbye, Love and Money, Gilmore Girls, North Shore, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, The Richest Greek. This is
we
just
can
some
stop
of
going
it.
Through her filmography.
NCIS Los Angeles, that could be...
Let's continue not going through her filmography anymore. No. I know, it's interesting to me, just the idea that she, but this is her first episode of Criminal Minds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so maybe, like, she just didn't... Yeah, because the weird part is, here's the thing that they don't tell you a lot about directors in television, right? Is in a film or a play, it is expected that a director is there to help you figure out what kind of performance to give to better serve the overall product.
Right? Yeah.
In television, that assumption doesn't exist, especially, I mean, for the first couple of seasons, when you're figuring out what the characters are, you're figuring out how, especially in sitcoms, how to play the rhythms. You're expected to, like, the director will largely, like, will be involved in that, right? I mean, James L. Brooks is, not James L. Brooks, anyway, I'm blanking on the name.
Doesn't matter, just keep
the guy going. Who did both Friends and Cheers were largely directed by the same man, because the man knows this better than anybody, right? And the point I'm getting at is, that assumption largely doesn't exist in the world of drama, because once you're a few seasons in, a director is just there to make sure everything gets on the page, right? That's basically all it comes down to. Like, the whole page is there, just make sure everything gets shot and we move on to the next thing. So it is rare for a director to come in and say, take a chance with your performance. But like you say, given how off-model Garcia plays this week, maybe the director tried that with her. Maybe the director encouraged her to try something different, but it feels very strange.
It's just very bad. James Burrows is who you're thinking
Jim
of.
Jim Burrows, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So embarrassed that I said Jim Brooks instead. Although he is another famous director, just of movies.
Yeah.
Jim Burrows, thank you. And it's interesting because I withhold, you know, harsh judgment, because there is a chance this could be setting up the kind of hint that Garcia's got something serious going on that we got in the Stalker episode.
Mm-hmm.
So they could be setting something up and this could pay off later. So I don't want to say anything about Kristen Vang's Ness's performance in these last few episodes, but this is weirdly off for her. And
yeah.
I want to see how it plays out for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and I will just have to wait and see, because it was just, I mean, that was the one performance the whole season that really struck me as bizarre.
Yeah.
just everybody feeling else
unusual for the show. Everyone else is fine.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody has a lot to do this episode.
Yeah.
Everybody, you know, everybody just does their standard, oh, well, let's describe the situation. Let's have a little theory. And then the other two guys are getting tortured for the entire episode.
Yeah.
Which I gotta say, to me, the whole plan to try and turn the guys against one another seemed kind of preposterous to me that that would work. Like, why would you think that this would work? And because you get this great scene. How did he know your name? And I'm like, because you've been loudly talking one room over. You've all been loudly talking to each other this whole time while they were sitting in the next room. It's not like there's a big soundproof door between you. You're bikers and you yell a lot. So, but the idea that he finds that convincing is kind of ridiculous to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I didn't really buy that at all. Although I gotta say, if at the end of the episode it had been true that the guy's brother did try to give up the organization and Flea had done it, I would have been impressed that the show had gone there. Because the weird part is, the payoff would have been, yeah, Matt did get his brother killed. This guy's brother killed.
Yeah.
And the guy is right to be pissed about it. He's not entitled to murder somebody. The guy's still a criminal. Like, the guy's still a criminal, and it's still good that his organization got broken down. But if Matt actually, if the guy facing down 10 years in prison was willing to testify his brother, and then Flea had the brother killed because he couldn't rescue the organization, and he knew the killer would never kill his brother. Like, I would have respected this episode a lot more had they actually pulled the trigger on what Matt said.
Yeah.
But then at the end of the episode, you're like, no, it's just a lie I made up. And he was convinced by it because he's not a very bright criminal.
Yeah, as I said. That they seem to make clear in this episode.
Yep, you're right. But no, but imagine how much more satisfying that would have been at the end of the episode if Matt had been, like, if the guy had, although I gotta say, just the weird part is, it wouldn't have really worked if it was Matt. It would have worked if it was Eric, because Matt never met the brother. Eric's the one who had arrested the brother. If the brother was going to reach out to anybody, it would have been, he would have reached out to Eric.
Okay, so you want to rewrite it the same way I want to rewrite it. The whole thing is...
Oh, yeah,
is...
the whole thing. But it's like, imagine if Eric tells this story, and then it gets the brother, and, like, the brother kills Flea, and blah, 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 blah. And then the episode, you're like, I was saying, you wake up, and it's like, no, like, that happened. I'm responsible for his brother getting killed, and I feel terrible about it, right? But I was just trying to take down a monstrous organization, and this was a bad outcome.
Yeah.
You know, like, it would have been, I mean, to ever use the word honest when describing Criminal Minds is, you know, it's possibly folly to ever use the word honest, but you got to agree with me that that would have been a real kick in the gut at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
If Eric had been responsible for the relatively innocent brother's death, and the guy was justified in his anger. You know, it's like, and Matt just got caught up in it. Because he was really, because the guy didn't even know, I mean, he was just mad at the cops, but it turns out that the guy he was really angry with is right there.
Yeah.
Because it's not like, you know, it's not like Eric hasn't screwed up in the past. He has. So yeah, I don't think it would break the character, because he wouldn't be doing anything immoral, anything against the law, blah, 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 like... Getting, like, how American justice system works is you threaten people with excessive sentences to get them to cooperate. Like, that's how American justice works. So the excessive sentence for the brother would have made sense if it was a precursor to the FBI trying to use him as a source to take down this biker gang, who are obviously a pretty big problem. So yeah, now that we're talking this through, I feel like the episode's biggest problem is that it doesn't have the courage of its convictions.
Well, I just think, and I mean, and then at the end you have Luke, right? Matt saving Eric, right?
Yes, you have Matt saving Eric. I keep calling him Eric. Luke, sorry. Thank you. Yeah, thank you for going along with
Luke
that, by the way.
And Luke yeah.
And Matt, yeah. I keep calling him Eric because of our love of CSI Miami. And everyone knows why I'm doing it, and I apologize. This is Luke Galvez. He's a different character than Eric Delco. Yeah. He doesn't play it any differently. Everything about the character is exactly the same. But yes, they are different people.
Yeah.
It would be funnier, again, if they weren't. But, you know, that's my dream. We'll find out one day. Oh, no, they were actually the same person.
They were actually.
It's all set in the same universe.
Yeah.
But yes, at the end, the weird part is, so the team finds where they are, and we'll talk about how the team finds where they are in a second, but they're really just saved because this whole time Matt's been like finding a small nail in the wall and using it to pick his handcuffs. So yeah, like not a lot of what they did to delay was really that important because the team was right outside, but they also did escape and they have a big gunfight. And it was nice that they had a big gunfight at the end. They haven't done one of those in a while. With stunts and tackles and people getting shot in the face. Like, that's not something they do much on this show. Like, try to do a big action scene. It actually feels a little weird to watch them try to do a big action scene.
Well, but yeah.
I will say this. It's not badly shot. But you were going to say. Sorry.
No. I agree with you. It wasn't badly shot. But,
Yeah. But, I mean... It's not like it's shot so
damning
well.
Damning with faint praise.
Faint praise. Well, it's not like it's shot so well that it's like, okay, I'll use a perfect example. The action on the TV show 24 was so good that you would be willing to ignore everything offensive about the show 24.
Well, I think most of us do. Like, there were so many things about 24.
That were intensely problematic.
Intensely problematic, okay? For people, particularly, I can still remember one of the women I worked with, and she taught, she's retired now. She taught in social work, right?
Okay.
And, I mean, she had no use for something like 24.
Of course.
And then I think her daughter and son-in-law or her son and daughter-in-law came up, and they were visiting for a while, I guess. And so they pulled out 24 to binge watch, and they talked her into starting to watch, and she says she can't stop.
No, I mean, it's compelling television.
About, you know, it was just compelling television. They did such a good job of it.
Yeah. And when they did action, it is beautiful action when they do action on that show. Mm-hmm. And by comparison here, I mean, it's the action's fine, but it's not going to make you overlook everything else that's wrong with the show.
Well, it's not only that. It's like, I just could not believe this whole thing. So let me see. Luke shoots the guy that's almost killed Eric, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Matt.
Matt, yes.
I figured it should have been the other way around.
I know, right?
That's what it should have been. It should have been that it really was, as you say, it really was Matt.
Eric. It should have been Eric. Eric actually should have been the one who was responsible for getting them in this situation.
Yeah.
And Matt should have saved him. And that's the end of the episode.
And Matt should have saved Luke. And I would have bought that one, like, a much better, like, I just, you know, why is Luke, like, I don't know why it didn't ring true.
It didn't
true.
Read right.
It just
yeah.
didn't it feel doesn't. Right.
No.
You know?
I agree with you on that one. Like, I really do it.
And here's why. It's because Luke is the one. Because I thought that Luke was, like, I was anticipating Luke was going to be the one in jeopardy. Because Luke is the one with five children. And they're talking about this.
No, Matt's the one with five children.
I mean, Matt's, wait a minute. Yeah. Never mind.
Yeah, they bring up.
Yeah, Matt's the one with five children and Luke, you know. But anyway, it should have all. Yeah,
but I mean, honestly, like, you redo this episode the way we've talked about it, and you actually have this payoff, but that what they want to do is they want to be like, oh no, he just used profiling to figure out, you know, that these guys would be ready to turn on each other based on a crazy lie. And no, like, it's so much more powerful if, like, we do shady stuff, like, slightly shady stuff sometimes because we believe our job is important. And these are the consequences of the slightly shady stuff we do.
Yeah.
Like there is blowback later. And
and that's exactly it.
Because the weird part is, how hard would it be? Like, it's a tougher way to end the episode if, like, this guy blames them for the death of his brother. That's why he's doing all of this. Although, by the way, there's a hilarious line in there where they're like, it's transference. Like, his brother was killed by gang members, and he's transferred that anger onto these two cops. And I'm like, no.
No.
Like, the who fired the bullet is inconsequential. His not a crook brother was only in jail because of these two cops.
Yeah.
His anger is correctly aimed. You know, like, you can say whether or not it's justified, he was a criminal, blah, 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 blah. But no, it's not transference. He's aiming his anger correctly.
Yes.
I feel like you might not know what that word means, Joe.
Well, yeah.
There's other stuff Joe doesn't know about. All right. So can we talk, before we wrap this up, can we talk a little about how ridiculously easy they are to find? So, David calls up his contact in the task force that is working on biker gangs. And the biker gang gets him a meet with an undercover FBI agent. Mm-hmm. Right? And it's this weird scene, because the FBI agent is like, this gang, the gang you're looking for, isn't supposed to be operating anywhere near this state. Okay? But they are in town, and we know that they have a warehouse on this side of town. Well, why'd you say the first part at all?
Yeah. Why?
If you knew they had a warehouse. So they're like, yeah, we've heard they're working out of an abandoned warehouse. And then we have this insane scene, right? Where they say, Garcia, use CCTV footage to check if any abandoned warehouses in the entire city have had a lot of motorcycles going in and out of them. And I swear to God, she presses 8 keys on a keyboard, and instantaneously, they know what warehouse they're looking for. Like, really? The CCTV in Des Plaines, Iowa, is so good that you can just type in the word motorcycle and warehouse, and it can immediately AI search every place a motorcycle has been in the past week.
Yeah, obviously, clearly, yes.
Oh, which raises the question, if the CCTV was that good, and in fact, there are CCTV, CCTV cameras near the warehouse they were looking for, why were they not able to find the footage of the black van they were looking for driving into the warehouse?
Well, because they forgot they had CCTV.
You're right. They forgot CCTV existed until the scene where they needed it to exist.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's the way I generally always forget
how technology works.
And yeah, technology. The way
it works is, it doesn't exist until you need it.
Yeah. Yeah. Particularly in this world.
Until the script requires it.
Yes.
They don't need it. Oh my God. Yeah, but it's such a frustrating scene too, because you're like, really? That's all it took to find them? And then basically it's weird because they have this mixed thing where it's like, realistically, they want to set the difficulty of tracking them down, mm-hmm. right? They want to gauge it at this level where it would be really hard for them to get there in time, but then they can't do that because again, they have a magic computer that can do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. But the bigger problem is they also want Luke and Matt to have a big action scene where they murder everybody. And so then you have to believe that, but it's like, well, then what is the rest of the team there for is a really good question. And it's so David can jump in at the last second and shoot one guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well.
And I know, it's so ridiculously contrived. Especially because what they don't seem to understand is by having David show up at the last second and kill one guy means, oh, well, they didn't have to do this big action scene then, because it's not like they were about to get shot in the face. No, the guys were coming to start horribly torturing them, torture that would have lasted for hours, and then they were going to get killed. So no, like, the team had ample time to rescue them. You know? So it ends up making the whole thing feel unnecessary. In a way that really annoyed me.
Well, yeah, but, I don't know. Yeah.
What else
I mean, that's how I felt. It was just right from the beginning. They lost me right from the beginning.
When you found out they were redoing the sniper thing.
Well, and they got it wrong.
And they got it so wrong. Yeah.
I mean, that, I think more than anything else, what annoyed me was they got it wrong.
Yeah, they got the details of it wrong. And that's, you're right. It's so frustrating because, like you said, how hard is it to just watch the episode?
Yeah. Or pull out the script, yeah, you know?
Drag out the script, watch the episode, do something, guys.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Not a great episode, not a good sign for where the rest of the season is going.
No, not at all.
No, a little annoyed. It's so frustrating because I don't understand. So, they know? I guess what bothers me so much about the ambush, mm-hmm. right, is that they specifically know that every character believes that cops are being targeted.
Yeah.
That cops are in danger.
Yeah.
And so they drive in a convoy to keep themselves protected because they're all worried about the fact that cops are in danger. But then the convoy gets attacked and if no one's going to notice, then why were you driving in a convoy?
Yeah.
Like the weird part is, if you told me that the convoy could get attacked, I've seen Clear and Present Danger. If you told me the convoy could get attacked, right, and by just blowing it up, yeah, that can happen. It's terrifying, but it can happen. But the convoy get attacked by guys driving up and using a flash grenade and pulling people out of a car and then driving away in a slower vehicle than all of the other cars in the convoy.
And the car behind them? The guys didn't just jump out and pull their guns?
Well, no, there's only cars in front of them. They did not attack the middle of the convoy. They, again, miraculously... They were at the end of the convoy. But it raises the question, and just like I say, how incredibly fortuitous was it for the bikers that Matt and Luke were in the same car, how incredibly fortuitous that they were at the last car in a convoy. I mean, it shouldn't have worked anyway. A last car in a convoy is still part of a convoy, and the convoy is still concerned, but it's like, the last car is the only one you really have a chance to attack at all without immediately getting killed. But even then, you still probably would have immediately been killed.
Yeah, anyway.
Because the show cuts, and that's the thing, because the show cuts away, they don't want you to think of really how long it would have taken to get these people to drive up, get them to pull over, blow them up with a stun grenade, and drag everyone out of the car, up to the van, then drive the van away. By the way, the van and the motorcycles are friggin' noisy.
Well, the other thing that I was wondering about was, well, then, okay, if they were the last, I don't know why I didn't realize they were the last ones in the convoy.
Because it's not, that part isn't shot. Well, no, you didn't realize it because that part wasn't shot well. Like, it's not your fault.
Thank you. I don't feel so bad then, right? No. But I'm going, okay, so then why did they find them? If they were the last car in the convoy, it seems they found them very quickly.
Oh, no, in the show's defense, I'll say this one thing.
Okay.
There was the guy standing at the tree line, obviously watching with a pair of binoculars, and he, like, radioed ahead which of the specific cars Matt and Luke got into, is what we want to assume. Like, and the show doesn't, the show, in your defense again, the show doesn't actually show us that happening, but I honestly believe that's what we are meant to assume the significance of the guy standing in the tree line watching them was. That he was there to say, okay, well, they're going to be coming in, they're in the gray SUV or the black SUV at the very back of the convoy. That's what was supposed to be going on there, whether or not it tracks logically that he could have done that. But yeah, that's what's supposed to have been happening in that scene. So I'm not going to criticize them. There is a way they could have known what car they were in, But the idea that they could have thought we're going to get away with attacking a convoy is not any less ridiculous. Even if you know what car you have to attack, the fact that you're trying to attack a convoy when you're less armed and armored than the people in the convoy, no, there's just no way that would work. Like, it's just not plausible at all. So yeah, it's their big action episode for the season. Yay. It's also pretty terrible.
Well, yeah, it was just, I just went, oh, and last week's episode was so good. But as I said, as far as I can tell from IMDb, and I would assume that that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Bernero must have had a lot of control over that episode.
Oh, wouldn't surprise me in the least.
Yeah, he must have, you know, really, because, and that's why it was good.
Yeah. No, I'm not surprised at all. All right, so that was episode 5. That's right. Wrap your head around this one.
We're halfway through.
There's only 5 episodes of Criminal Minds left ever.
Yep.
Ever. It's going to wrap up at episode 324, and we just watched episode 319, and oh my God, we've watched 319 episodes of this show.
We haven't talked about them yet, but you've written 319 reviews.
That's true. Wow. And we're going to be there soon enough for talking about them, even if they're not going to get posted for another year.
Season 11 right now.
So, yeah. But yes, it's, like I said, it's not a fantastic episode at all. It's really, I mean, and as you say, if this episode has just, you know, spent the whole time circling the drain, I don't think we would have been as hard on it as we're being. Right. But last episode was so light and fun and refreshing and felt so unlike the rest of the Criminal Minds. To go back into this slog, it's just... it's painful.
It was really, really painful. And to go back to the LDK, because LDSK episode, you know, wasn't that bad.
No, it wasn't that bad. I mean, there's one unconscionably stupid thing about the episode, which it asks you to believe that he could have driven out of a parking lot after shooting a cop in a park full of cops.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean...
There's a plot hole so gigantic, the entire episode gets sucked into it. But fundamentally, it's not a bad episode of television.
No, you know, and the characters. And besides, you see what happens. Of course, there you had Timothy Olmanson.
You confuse him with Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah, I could combine the two.
Yeah, it's not hard to do.
Yeah, and did you get the line about Timothy Oliphant in the Judge and the Good Place watching?
Deadpool? I know, I did see that. Wasn't that beautiful?
I cracked up.
The Good Place when Timothy Oliphant showed up. So wonderful. But anyway, the thing is, and this is what's so I think central about why that episode worked is, Tim Olmanson, he's so good. That even though he's only there for the last 2 scenes of the episode, he just shows up at the last minute of that episode. But he's good and he's compelling and they have set up this character so much and he plays right into what they've set up that it's like you still remember his performance even though he's only in 5 minutes of that episode.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas this week, I can't tell you anything about the villain. Do you know what I can tell you about the villain? People keep talking about what monstrous scars he has on his face. And I'm like, makeup artists did not do a good job of putting scars on his face.
I'm going.
No. He's like, maybe you don't remember me because of all the scars I have now. And then they're like, they cut up his face to make him remember like his brother getting killed. And then we show a picture of him with a big red mark down the side of his face. But it's like, you didn't shoot. First off, you gave the actor almost no close-ups, and the artist didn't make his face look gross at all.
Yeah,
it's like you can use makeup to monstrously scar people's faces, and it will be hard to look at. And if you wanted to make this a memorable episode and a memorable villain, like go nuts, go jigsaw with his face, like just commit to it. But instead, they just talk about how scarred his face is when. He quite obviously does not have a scarred face. It's frustrating. All right. So that, as they say, is that. We're going to be back here next week for, is next week one of the 2 episode weeks? Is it 6 and 7?
Don't ask me to go look that up again.
Okay, I'm sorry. My suspicion is next
week is two episodes.
And then, so next week is 6 and 7. Then the week after is eight, and then nine, ten will be the last. Okay. Yeah. Oh my God, we only have 3 more weeks of Criminal Minds.
Yeah, and I have to remember when we have the double episode to tape it on CBS because they run it together.
Oh, yeah, they don't. On CTV, they do it on different nights. I forgot about that.
Yeah, because CTV has got its priority.
They're committed to air Stumptown. I don't blame them for that. People seem to like Stumptown.
I haven't watched it.
It's okay. I mean, I watched the pilot. It's fine. I didn't immediately watch the second episode, but it's fine. Good show. Best birthday present ever. I don't have to watch new episodes of Criminal Minds anymore.
Is the last one on?
No, it's not actually on my birthday, but it's really close.
Let me look. Okay.
So no, it's the next week.
My birthday is on the 12th, two on the 19th. So we're getting really close. Nine days after you won't have to ever watch another Criminal Minds.
Sort of Criminal Minds. We're calling it a belated birthday present.
Well, you know, you get lots of those anyway.
No, exactly. All right. So we're going to call it there. We were going to see you back here on Tuesday for more Criminal Minds Suspect Behavior, mm-hmm. a show you'll find that we love a lot more than Criminal Minds. We're going to be back next Thursday for more of Season 7 of Criminal Minds. And, of course, next Friday, we're going to be here talking 2 brand new episodes of Criminal Minds. It's going to be fun. So join us back here for that. If you have any questions, if you have any comments, if you have any suggestions for profiling-related fiction you think we should check out, drop us a line at profilingcriminalminds@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. And if you're listening to this on any kind of a podcast client, be sure to rate the show so that other people can find it. We'll see you back here on Tuesday, but until then, I'm going to say thanks for listening and au revoir.
And have a good weekend.
Profiling Criminal Minds is a member of the Kinks Podcasting Network.